The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to The Lawyer's Edge, a program that seeks to answer your questions on civil, criminal, constitutional, and political legal matters with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. Robert J. Slama is a U.S. veteran and prominent attorney who has served as counsel for some of Jacksonville's most high-profile cases. Robert Slama is a member of the Florida Bar and the U.S. Supreme Court Bar Associations. He's argued cases in Florida, as well as constitutional cases, before the highest court in the land. David Trotty is a Florida Bar attorney, practicing since 2000, and is a certified civil and family law mediator and a qualified arbitrator in the state of Florida. His practice focuses on family and criminal law issues and mediation. He's a former Marine who served in Japan and the U.S. Embassy in Austria and Tanzania. Also a federal police officer with the Central Intelligence Agency. It's now time to discuss today's legal topics and issues and how they impact your family and small business. Now, live from the WBOB studios, here's attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville, and welcome to A Lawyer's Edge. I'm in the studio with David Trotty and, of course, Roger. We're not forgetting you this time.
You know what? I really feel safe. I didn't realize David had all this type of, you know, military and police background with the Central Intelligence Agency. I think I heard it, but it, you know, really rang home with the new intro. So I feel safe. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here as well.
In some cases, he's considered a covert operative, and in others, he's considered, I guess, some sort of a protection team guy. But you really are, I mean, it's not really a joke. You really were in the CIA. You have the paper up in your wall.
I do. I have a paper on the wall.
And you were trained by?
A CIA federal police officer, yeah.
There you go.
Fletsy over in Georgia. Give him a shout out.
So when you get pulled over, do you tell people you were the CIA? No.
Not at all.
You might get... Well, we have a thing called the Baker Act, and I suppose that depending upon the day and the time, someone might just take you off.
Well, we're in a holiday spirit here, and we're happy for sure.
But, you know, speaking of the holiday spirit, are you ready for the holidays?
I am. I have to be honest with you. I have not finished the Christmas shopping spree. I imagine that's going to happen tonight or tomorrow night. Hopefully my son is not listening tonight.
You don't have any Christmas. I have Christmas colors on my shirt, and... You don't have any Christmas colors yet.
I don't have any Christmas colors on today. I did have my ho-ho socks on yesterday for mediation.
Ho-ho socks. Mm-hmm. Those would be...
Well, I had it. They said ho-ho all over them, green and red. Then I have my nutcrackers on Friday.
Very good. And Roger, what about you? Are you set for Christmas or are you still working?
You have a good point. I have done most of the shopping, but I'm going to get some stocking stuff for just little knickknacks. See, I'm fortunate. My wife does all it for me. I just say, here, get this, and it shows up at the front door.
You look like so you're basically, you're an Amazon guy.
I'm married to an Amazon lady. So.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you, what's funny about this time of year is everyone's trying to move on, in a sense, finish the year, finish strong, and then looking to January for a new start.
A new start, yes.
A new start. Is that pretty fair?
I think it's a new start, whether you are ending a relationship, starting a relationship, or trying to maintain the status quo, the current situation you're in, yes. So, but a new start, everybody tries to clean out the sock drawers and top desk drawer and see what's in there from the year past and move on to the year future.
Fear. Do you find, because at least I do, I notice oftentimes, like someone will come in, as we're speaking during the holiday season, someone's going to get sued. Someone's going to have someone show up at their door. Someone is going to be looking forward to a great Christmas, and there's going to be visitation issues. I had a client just the other day looking forward to Christmas. There was a DV injunction. Someone showed up at the door. It was the wrong person. So thus he violated, and he's in jail for 10 days. He's not going to spend time for Christmas with the family or let alone with anybody else other than the folks in the jail. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, while we're all looking forward to all the good things that are supposed to happen during this time of year, unfortunately, there are some things that are happening that may not be as good. So as we're looking forward to the new year, change, a lot of people are. How do people, when they're thinking about this, where they have no control over the legal system, and fortunately or unfortunately, to make the changes they want to make, they have to go through the legal system to get to the other side. And I find that a lot of people, because they're apprehensive, they're fearful, money, cost, so they don't take action, they sit. And then they're waiting for something good to happen while they're just sitting. I always say they're like chickens sitting on an egg.
It's a terrible situation to be in.
And it creates anxiety, does it not?
I would say more anxiety during this time of year than any other time of year. I think you have the next time of year that's crucial is, of course, Thanksgiving, but also right before school.
Oh, yeah.
You think you're going to spend this wonderful time with your children, and all of a sudden you have divorce papers served on you. It doesn't matter which spouse or which parent, but things are going to change. And sometimes it changes a lot faster than when you want to. At an earlier show, we kind of hit on the impacts of domestic violence and time sharing. But especially during this time of year when those tools are so powerful and so constrictive to somebody's ability to parent their children during the holiday season. The kids are getting off of school for a couple weeks. They're starting a new year. They're starting a new 9 weeks after the school comes back in January. And what happens? The family's torn apart during this time of family get together, and no one knows what to do. They are frantic. They're paralyzed. They run to our office. Sometimes they don't run to our office. They just don't know what to do. Someone has got the first foot in the door in the courthouse. They've won, and they have an injunction. Now you are prohibited from seeing your kids for probably the entire Christmas holiday.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, and the military, everything you just said, and the military folks are impacted even worse from this. I don't know if you saw the movie. I was going to suggest before. In fact, I wanted to take you to it. It's the one called Thank You for Your Service. Did you see it?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, anyone who has served, you have to see it. And if you're a spouse or a relative of someone who served, you have to see it. And we'll talk more about it. But it shows people at different stages of their family life when they come back from being overseas combat in the Army, we call it going downrange. Come home and you see a successful story, very strong woman who's standing with this guy who's struggling with all kinds of things. And then you see another one. It doesn't end very well. And then someone else who you don't know how the story ends yet, but you know that he gets away to treatment and treatment was full. But
and these are the three stories that are depicted in this movie, correct?
That's correct.
But I do want to hit on right before a break is I believe that you have something you're going to be giving away during the show.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot. Call in to 222-TALK. 222-TALK, we have a Christmas basket. It's one of my favorites. I always put chocolate and movies in it and family stuff. So when everyone gets together, you can certainly have a wonderful, wonderful movie time and Christmas.
Movie time and Christmas. One book and one show that I always read to my son is The Polar Express. He's 14, and I talked to him in the car the other day. And I said, Dominic, I said, I need to see you. Yes, we have a split custody arrangement, time sharing arrangement with my former wife. And so we're going to get together and we're going to watch The Polar Express before Christmas. And it's important to keep those routines and those memories alive.
I saw that with my son on the big screen, and watching that on, you know, IMAX or something is fabulous. But mine are, I have a couple of them that we always watch, but it's always the same thing. This time of year, everybody's got different things they're dealing with. Some can enjoy the holidays. Others are dealing with losses and changes and all sorts of things. But call us at 222-TALK, 222-TALK. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge. Call us.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge with Robert Slama and David Trani, attorneys at law, different law firms, but here together offering legal advice at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. And also, when you call in, I guess it's going to be a random giveaway, so just get your name on the list, is it, Robert?
Yes.
Okay.
Call us, 222-TALK, and we're here for you. David.
Now, Robert, we were just talking about holiday times and family times over the holiday seasons. No one wants to be, or maybe some want to be, the Grinch that stole Christmas. And I'm not talking about the end of the story, but initially, the Grinch who stole Christmas. How do you handle a client comes into your office and says, there's an injunction against me, I can't be within 500 feet of my former spouse or my spouse, and I can't see my children. But there's no injunction for the children. There's no court order saying you can't see the children. There's no prohibition saying you can't talk to the children. But the mom or the dad is prohibiting you any contact with the children during this time. What do you tell this client?
You know, those are very, and particularly during this time of year, and I have seen the use of that to the extreme, as probably you have. First is, I hope there's someone representing them on the other side to say, you want to have it worked out in an orderly fashion, because what you don't want is someone in front of the kids, bad things being seen, even if it's not some sort of violence. As you know, on the side of the road, I've gone with clients to McDonald's for drop-off. So anyway, in those situations, there has to be a third-party place, someplace you meet, a substation or whatever. If we're not getting any contact, say they're pro se, meaning they don't have counsel and they went down to the courthouse, they got their injunction, and now they're telling him or her, stay away, you can't come around. I'm calling the police. I have them go down the street, meet a cop, have a police officer take them up to the house, show them the order that there's no prohibition on the child, and hopefully a good police officer in those circumstances can help kind of open up the door. Sometimes it's just confusion. I have seen people think, oh, well, if the injunction is against me, you can't come here. It has to be on behalf of, and if it's not, that's one mechanism.
And I understand that. And those are situations where we have somebody who's not represented, doesn't understand the inner workings of the courthouse and how family law works, division works. But what happens when you have that attorney representing a spouse, and now all of a sudden every door you go to make an amicable means of a relationship between the children and the parent are met with closed doors? How do you get into the court during this holiday season to salvage some type of relationship?
Well, I'm assuming, as you're asking it is, if there is no order in place directing visitation, then we don't have a pickup order or something like this, which gets trickier because as an emergency motion, you're kind of stuck because our courts have generally held that visitation is not an emergency issue. So they don't see it as an emergency issue unless there's what we call a superior right. The order says, you know, Friday at 3 o'clock, and then someone doesn't show up hiding behind the injunction, then you get an emergency pickup order.
Exactly. And that's what I'm getting to. I was kind of leading down a path there, is you have no court order establishing time sharing. An action was just started. There's no injunction prohibiting contact or time sharing with the kids. So you're in this purgatory of family law, for lack of a better word. This place where you don't know what's happening. You don't know what the demise or the fate of your time sharing with your children are. But our courts generally in our circuit don't think or to believe that, I'm not saying this to not the judge's personal opinions, they put time sharing on the top of their list, but in the courtroom, time sharing isn't an emergency unless there's an endangerment to the children. So we can't go in there and file emergency motion for emergency time sharing or emergency motion pickup order. She's prohibiting time sharing or he's prohibiting time sharing unless there's some type of danger to the children, correct?
Absolutely.
So how does the court view, we have a standing family law court order out there that states, and I'm having it emailed to me so I'll quote from it better, but there was one that was amended about a year ago, 2 years ago, and it basically says, and I'll paraphrase, that the parent who has the children should foster a relationship, a meaningful relationship with the other parent, if you're the parent who has the children the majority of the time. And again, I'm paraphrasing that standing order. Now let's fast forward to the holidays, and you haven't seen your children for 60, 90, 120 days, and you're in the holiday season. Is there some type of mechanism that can bring it to the attention? And what do you think the courts do when you don't have that ability to see your kids? Is there a motion to compel, motion for contempt? What about makeup time sharing? What do the courts do in your experience?
Well, that's the problem. And that's why immediately, because as you know, a lot of the judges start taking off, around now, usually by Tuesday, and some are staying out until after the holidays. But usually there's someone around. Ideally, if there's counsel in on the other side, which you hope, that you get together and you figure these things out, and at least you get something moving on a temporary basis. For the people who, as you kind of described it, some people, they just never get it together and it doesn't happen. Then we're filing a contempt motion looking for makeup visitation. The problem with all that is, I always say everything that's retroactive, it happens, does not, I mean prospective versus retroactive, you can't get that time back. It's gone. And, I mean, Christmas is special. Christmas Day is special. I was going to say, one of the more common ones that happens more frequently, and the problem is the people on the street know there's not much you can do about it at that time. For example, on Christmas Day, you rotate. We know the schedule. Someone gets the first half, someone gets the second half, and on Christmas Day, someone gets the first part and overnight, and someone gets part of the day, and then back they go. I've seen it where people then, we got tied up. So instead of being there at 3 o'clock, they've got someone hung out and then tell them, but you got to be back at 8:30 because they've got to be in bed and all this other stuff, depending upon the age of the child. So what they do is they close the window. They don't deny it. Instead of getting 3 to 8:30, they get maybe 4 hours, and they know they frustrated them. So there's so many different ways, and I'm going to use the word, the M word, that people look to manipulate it, mostly to wear down the person, or what I call wage war on the other person, for whatever reason.
And what are they using as their weapon of choice?
Always the kids.
The children.
Yeah, because in the end, like the circumstances I just described, you and I know when you get that phone call, or more likely today, I get the text. You get the text in real time, and you know what just happened. And I'm sizing it up, and I know exactly what that person did. So then you go, okay, the cost of filing a contempt motion for 4 hours, and when are you going to get the 4 hours back? The window's closed.
And when do you get into court for that motion for contempt?
Well, it depends, you know.
Right. Which now let me talk about a real issue that is, since October of 2016, we've had a new administrative order setting forth proposed time-sharing guidelines. And prior to that, we were working off those old suggested guidelines, time-sharing guidelines, which if you're from the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s and even, you know, the early teens, the time-sharing for Christmas was first half, second half. You rotate on at either 1 o'clock Christmas Day, the 25th of December, or 3 o'clock. And so now, with the changes in the school calendars, the changes with the weather days and everything, like the children in Duval County, I believe they're getting off
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the 20th.
At 3.
And so, and Christmas is Monday. Well, they don't go back to school until January 9th, I believe, if I'm correct, for Duval County.
20 days.
So if we did the first half, second half, as defined as many of the divorce decrees are, that happened prior to October of 2016, one person would have Thanksgiving, and they get the second half of Christmas, which starts at either 1 or 3 o'clock on the 25th. So here we have 9 six, was that 15 days plus the whole Thanksgiving day? I think they were out almost the whole week because of some weather days or something like that.
Yep.
And the other parent, and it doesn't matter, if it's the mom or the dad, one parent got the first half of the Christmas break, which in this term is going to be roughly 4 or 5 days. What are we, or what should we be advising our clients to do without the heavy cost of a modification of the parenting plan? Are we sending letters out to our clients? Are we instructing them on the phone to reach out to the other parent and say, hey, here's the new guidelines on how they split Christmas in today's world with the new school calendar? And can you briefly describe what that new holiday time sharing is for the winter holiday?
No, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because a lot of the people who are listening, if you don't remember what's in your divorce decree, go back and look, because this problem, you hope everyone works it out. Now it begins right after school. So, for example, Wednesday, tomorrow, it doesn't feel like it, but yes, tomorrow's the 20th, right after school at 3 o'clock, it'll begin. So you'll have the first half.
That's when the text messages start coming into our office saying, hey, I can't find Junior.
Oh, God, yes. And someone, you know, took him and went somewhere, and it'll continue. And then on Christmas Day, you'll still have your rotation, you know, on Christmas Day. And then someone will get the second half. But it should work out now pretty evenly. This, I think, comes out to almost perfectly 20 days. So someone gets 10, someone gets 10. The good part about this is, particularly with this long of a break, is that now many of the parents have longer. I was going to say, sometimes, depending upon what your schedule is, because people are looking at taking their vacation commensurate with the time that they're going to have the children. So now what it means is, which I've seen parents griping about, now under this so-called new rule, so not everyone is going to want to change.
Correct.
Because for some, they just don't have the time off, or some are traveling, and thus, by default, it's going to go to someone else because they can't exercise the whole 10 days.
Correct. But what the new guidelines, again, I'm going to paraphrase the new guidelines, is one parent would have the children from the day after the day school was released for the break, and would go to Christmas Day, the 25th, at 1 or 3 o'clock. I believe it's defaulted to 3 o'clock in the suggested time-sharing guidelines. But then the second parent would have, from that point to a point, a number of days in the future that would equal half of the break. And then it would revert back to the first parent. I like that. I don't like it, because sometimes it gets confusing. But one thing that it does is, if one parent wants to go out of town for a break and they don't happen to have that second week, their break is cut into two sections. So I really encourage the parents out there. Number one, look at the school age of your children. Look at what their obligations are for school when they come back, when the 9 weeks start. Some have a novel they got to start reading, or projects, or maybe they have midterm or 9 weeks exams the first week they come back. Take that into consideration when we're talking about long travel. But more so, look at what the kids desire to do and talk to the other parent about what they might have in schedule. Because if you're stuck on the old guidelines and you want to have some more time, work together, okay? The younger the kids are, the more important Christmas Eve, Christmas Day is. The older the kids get, it seems that they're more glued to the TV or their electronic devices, and they like the travel, they like the parents, they like the Christmas Eve festivities. But talk, be alive, have an intelligent, be flexible, and work together.
Let me give you I'll give you the easy solution to this, because lawyers can make it complicated. Start tomorrow. First person, hang on to them until the 29th at 3 o'clock or whatever you want. And then from the 29th, and the other person takes them back to school, you end up with about a 10-10 split. Everybody's happy, and you know what to do on Christmas Day. So anyway, call us, 222-TALK, 222-TALK. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. I'm Roger Henderson, along with Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. They are attorneys at law, and talking about family law and some of the complications, real situations that unfortunately happen when marriages are dissolved, their kids involved, and you got Christmas coming up. How do you spend vacation? We were talking that there's actually a celebrity family and a member of my family, too, who things didn't work out, unfortunately. And she the kids all go on vacations together and everybody's friends.
That's and I was.
Is that rare?
It's in the movie Dad's 2 mm-hmm. with Mark Wahlberg. So, yes, it can be done.
It does happen. My sister does this. And so does this singer that, you know, she's always in the tabloids. I won't say her name, but yeah.
You have to be a very special family, but unfortunately for most families, I mean, that's you would hope that they could have a common experience so there isn't all the changing back and forth and two trees and two this, two that. But I think as David and I were talking about is this time of year, you're trying to even out what ought to be obvious. It ought to be somewhat simple to keep not only the joy of the season, but isn't it funny? And I'm going to throw out another word because I truly mean this. And it may sound a little bit odd, but it shouldn't be. As people are going through this process, I always talk about, particularly to clients that are spiritual and Christian and whatever, reconciliation. In other words, perhaps at one point they began as friends. At some point they were friends, and then they became more. And at the end of this process, ultimately there needs to be reconciliation. And what you see is when there's a lot of stuff going back and forth, and there's a lot of disharmony, there's a lot of unnecessary pain and suffering and things of this nature going back and forth, it all has a source. Now, in the law, when you're dealing with people who can't resolve something, then the law has to lay down a mechanism for resolution. We call that backstopping. That, in other words, there's a place, like in baseball, a backstop. There's got to be some place where it ends. The ball can only go so far, and that's it. Here we are. But it's about reconciliation, and so I always tell people, particularly this time of year, which is what this year, this part of the year is supposed to be about, reconciliation, not just man to man, but God to man, that we end up with a scenario that ought to help us bridge some of these divides and help families grow and come together. And so at each step, in each turn, there's going to be opportunities to do that. Other than just looking at the legal system. Now, sometimes there are situations where there are things that have to be addressed and resolved because the parties either can't or they won't, right?
It's a positioning. It's unfortunately in our litigious society, it's when we get into the family court sector, which shouldn't be used for this, it's about, did I win? And whenever you have kids involved in a divorce, no one is going to win. We have to think of the children first, and when we're talking about holiday seasons, we've got to put our ticker tape away, and we have to say, what can we do to put these children in the best situation possible?
You know, and Dave, you probably have heard this yourself, but I certainly want to share this and pass this on. Years ago, I was at a mediation with another mediator. You know him well. His name is Dan Walensky. This is before Dan became a judge. And I remember one day we were sitting in his office and we were just killing time, waiting for the other side, looking at a document or something. And I looked at Dan and I said, because you know his nature, him in family law, it always puzzled me. Just didn't seem that he's a non-conflict guy, why he'd be in an arena that is so full of conflict. And he looked at me and I was expecting again some long answer. I said, why do you do family law? And he turned and he smiled, and it was a very short answer, which even puzzled me more. He said, oh, that's easy. I'm like, what's easy? What are you, like the little guy on Star Wars? The guy who helps teach the Jedi Knights how to be Jedis and stuff?
The name would be Yoda.
Yoda. who just came back, by the way.
Interesting it is.
Isn't it?
Button we must push.
and what is this Yoda answer that I get is? He said, well, We're dealing with generations of families.
That's right.
I don't speak Yoda, by the way. So you too, I can see you do. I don't speak whatever.
I was talking about the big red button.
That's what that was.
That was easy.
But you, so when he said that, here's what I said, David. I looked at him. I said, "What do you mean, generations?" He said, "Robert, what we do here today is going to affect generations."
That's right.
Of these children. And he made me stop. And I'll tell you what I went to was, did you ever see the movie Schindler's List? I know you did.
Yes, I watched that movie.
Okay. The part when it really, 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 not that the rest of it didn't, but when you get to the end and you see the so-called Schindler Jews today walking by his grave and putting a stone down, and you get to see, you know, X number of people were saved from the Holocaust, but the generations and generations and generations. And I wish that when people came through the family law court, that we had a program, I mean a real program, I'm not talking about CFID and all that stuff, for them to go through, to get an understanding and instruction on what co-parenting really means, including generations of families.
When I was on the campaign trail in 2016, one of the things that I would talk to people about is, in my practice, you know, we do family law. Most people associate attorneys with the big personal injury cases, the big criminal defense cases, the big law firms, big farm, all that kind of stuff. But we do family law. But the effect that we have on all those attorneys, all those corporate entities, and all their employees is that we're creating the new normal. And since the Civil Rights Movement, the new normal now in 2017, at the eve of 2018, is the majority of us are in separate households, living separate lives in broken families or divorced families, or they've never gotten married before. And what I try to instill in my clients, in my fathers and my mothers that I represent, and with my son, is we as the parents, and I think it starts with the attorneys when they first walk into your office for the consultation, is we have to educate our clients who then turn to educate their children as an example of how to treat a divorced spouse, a former spouse, the person on the other side. Oh, yes, that was their mother or father. And how you treat them through this breakup period, through this divorce, through this paternity action or whatever course of action it is, these kids, I don't care how young they are, they're taking notes. They're affected. And so these kids who are living the new normal, we have to show them the way, how to treat the lady on the other side as the queen on earth in his eyes. You might not like her. You might not love her. You might not want to ever talk to her. But in his eyes, you still open the door for her. You still do things for her. She needs a pickup. You help her. And that should be men anyway, in whatever facet of life. But the same with the women. Our young girls have to still be treated of how to respect the man, how to be treated as a young lady. And our fathers, you still need to date these girls. You need to date your daughters as if they know how to be treated with unconditional love, because the only educator they're going to have in their life is you as their biological or natural father. And the same thing with our sons. But, yeah, we are learning the new normal, and there's no other person that can teach our society for generations and generations to come on how to work through these divorce scenarios than the parent involved. And it starts with the attorneys when they come in for the advice, and then our judges. But the first person that those people have contact with are the attorneys. And if you get a bad apple as an attorney, your attorney's saying, yeah, we'll keep those kids away. Absolutely.
Assassins.
He's never going to see the kids. She's never going to see the kids. Now, there are cases where there's drugs involved. There's some really messed up people mentally, and they're doing really bad things with kids. I am pushing those to the side. We are not discussing those cases.
Those are case by case.
And there are too many. One of those cases is too many. I'm not talking about those cases. I'm talking about the cases where there's one set of facts and an attorney has heard those set of facts through the mouth of the person who wants the divorce and has not put themselves in a position of neutrality to assess it and see what damage am I about to inflict on the kids of this divorce.
People don't realize that. I see people and I tell them, I'm going to be a little bit more maybe direct than David is. I call them assassins. There are people going out there who want an assassin. Here's the problem, and I always say it this way because it's true. First, you create Dr. Frankenstein, and you sick Dr. Frankenstein and everybody else, and then what does Dr. Frankenstein do? He turns on you, and eventually he comes after his own maker. There are ways in which to do this. There are ways in which to go about this. In fact, how important this is. I believe you knew him, Sean Pope.
Yes.
Good friend of mine. Sean died. I don't know. It's been probably 2009. I can't remember. It's been some time. Sean, we were sitting down one day, and again, I just asked that question. I said, Sean, why did you become an attorney? He said, my family, my mother went through a horrible divorce. There was an attorney who reached out and helped us. He said, I wanted to become that guy and help other people. And Sean did. So anyway, we are dealing with generations and generations of people. This is Christmas time, time for joy. So let's bring joy into the world. And how do we do it? One person at a time. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge. Call us at 222-TALK, 222-TALK. We're here to answer your legal questions.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
The Lawyer's Edge with Robert J. Slama and David Trotty on this hour. Another segment left to go, and they're taking your questions at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Less than a week away from Christmas, and Slama, you are giving away a Christmas basket. I'm assuming by random drawing, right?
That's correct.
I don't think we've communicated that effectively because nobody's called in to sign up for it.
Call in. It's a beautiful basket. There's a lot of stuff in it. I always say I have Christmas books in it and, of course, hot chocolate, cups, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some good Christmas movies. Some of my favorites. You never know what's going to be in there. Could be some tickets, movie tickets, things like that, you vouchers.
Know, what I love about it is if no one calls in, it defaults to me.
Congratulations.
I love it.
You're right now in the lead now, David.
He just changed the rules. He just changed.
So Robert, I have the standing family law court
yes.
order, and I want to read this just because I think it's important. Whenever somebody files a divorce action, there's a standing family law court order that is issued. We as the attorneys file it, and if you file pro se, the clerk puts it in your file. And it's a part of your record, correct?
Yes.
And on the first page, it says, I'm going to quote this. If the parents of the children live apart during the dissolution proceeding, they shall, not may, not could, not if they like, but it says they shall assist their children in having contact with both parents, which is consistent with the habits of the family, personally, by telephone, audiovisual communication, and in writing, unless there is a conflicting court order, period. Now, in this situation, you have families that are 100% together. Mom and dad are living together, and one person leaves, goes and stays with their parents or whomever, and files a divorce action. So what is customary of that relationship when one parent leaves and doesn't let the other parent have time with their children? Is it as if they were married and it was 100% contact, meaning share it 50-50, or is it zero contact because the one spouse didn't have any contact since spouse number one left the house? What do you do?
I just had that happen, and it comes up quite a bit. She came in and told him, I want you to leave the house. He goes, no, I'm staying. They're all living in the house. There's no violence. There's no domestic violence. There's none of that. And so she's seeing someone else. She has a boyfriend. So she takes the kids and says, well, if you're not out by Friday, we are leaving. So he asked the very informative question, who's we? And the we is all of us but you. You just got voted off the island. So off we go and takes them. And then the issue is visitation and how do you work this out? And no one, you know, ultimately.
End of the day, it's just very ugly.
It's in the street. What happens, and the reason, what I wanted to mention, David, with this, where you normally see this is, certainly you see it in divorce like this, but I'm talking to all the paternity people out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
They live in chaos. And here's why. When I see them, this is what I call my 10 calls a day. People who call and they go, I'm so frustrated. Why are you frustrated? You know why. Because there was a Department of Revenue now showed up. She applied for benefits.
And I have to pay child support now.
And I don't get to see the kid, and she's in control, and she's doing this and doing that. And I go, okay, let's start here. Department of Revenue got involved. Are you married? No.
No.
Okay. So you're not married. So we're in paternity land. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the father. I'm the father. And I go, well, you ready for this? First, I need you to sit down. Really sit down. You sitting? Yes. You're not really yet. You think you're the father. But until, quote, paternity is established as a matter of law, you have no rights. Then I see the look on the face. If they're near me or on the phone, you hear the silence. And then what starts next is the yelling. Why the yelling? I'm paying support. I'm doing this. How could I be paying support if I'm not the father? And by the way, what about my rights? And what about this? And what about this? And then goes into the dialogue and the diatribe of what she just did to him.
Now, the Department of Revenue did establish him as the what father?
Putative father.
That's right. That means that you're going to, the putative, might as well say the paying father.
Yes.
So you're the father with no time sharing or access to the children's rights. And that's very, very important during this time of year. And we can segue real quick into, we have just a few minutes left in the show, but our military.
Yes.
So many of our military are in situations where they're having children out of wedlock. And be that as it may, you have the children out of wedlock. When you have that child, get with the with an attorney and establish your paternal rights, especially before you get on that boat and go underway for 6 months or 18 months.
Okay. Absolutely.
You just used a real fancy phrase, putative father.
Huh.
Now, that means I'm imagining you're obligated to start paying child support. What if it's determined afterwards that you're not the biological father? You get reimbursed?
No.
That's a good one, Roger. Guess what? No, it ain't happening.
Thank you. Thank
no.
you. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you for playing, and let's try again.
But, you know, the good thing for some of these fathers who, and unfortunately, there is some good news, some light into the tunnel. There are circumstances where spouse A and spouse B have a child during their relationship, and it happened to come out that when spouse B was on the ship for 6 months, comes back and there's a junior there, or maybe the mom is pregnant. Before, if the child was born during the marriage, it's your child. Okay? But now there's a disestablishment of paternity action that you can file under the Florida statute. So the divorce action, the final judgment of divorce, is the establishment of paternity. Now it's your legal child. The court, if the court finds that it is not in the best interest to disestablish paternity, they don't have to. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be the discretion of the court there. But you come back and you find out there's new information that while you're out to sea, she had a relationship with so-and-so, and he is actually the biological father. You find him, you locate him, and everything else. The court has discretion to disestablish the paternity upon those filings. Now, once you know that information and you don't file the disestablishment and you get a divorce, you're stuck, unless there's new information.
Interesting.
We call it daddy by estoppel. That's the only child that the child ever knew, and guess what?
Okay.
Tag, you're it.
All right, we've got a call on the line who's got a question. Hi there, who's this?
Richard.
And what's your question this afternoon, Richard?
Well, I've been married 63 years, and we've never been able to find our marriage certificate. And my question is, my wife went ahead and filled out paperwork that we were married in Montgomery, Alabama. And what if they can't find the birth certificate? What if we don't have a birth certificate?
Well, let me ask you a question. Richard, are you asking to locate your marriage certificate?
I'm asking, what do you do if you don't have the certificate available?
If you want
to say that, because it was 63 years ago, but let's just say that we can't find it.
So that was,
I know it's definitely involved as far as legalities, as far as estates and, you know, that type of thing.
I understand what your question is, but I just want to make sure we're clear and we're answering your question. Are you and your wife trying to stay together, or are y'all trying to obtain a divorce?
Oh, no, not after 63 years.
Great. Good. That's good news. because it is the holiday season, we want you guys to stay together. So you're looking for legal purposes just to shore up your estate, your marital estate, to have this document. Have you?
Right.
The only thing I would think of is go to the county you're married and see if they have it on microfiche or maybe part of the official records in that county. Hopefully those counties, you know, 63 years ago weren't hit with any type of catastrophic storms where those records were destroyed. But that's what I would do there.
Absolutely. And listen,
the reason I asked is because I don't really remember getting your license.
You know,
Bob Hope had that same situation, but go ahead.
You might want to check the name also who you really married that day, because sometimes there might be a difference. But anyway, I can probably help you with that. That's not too hard. We can get a hold of the clerk in that county and see if you're recorded. Has she done that?
My wife's got that all scored away.
Oh, good. Well, anyway, congratulations on being married 63 years. And tell the listening audience, what's your secret?
That's a good question.
It's a secret.
I'll tell you what it is. Determination.
Determination.
That we weren't going to give up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hope.
And in fact, being that my wife's not in the room with me, I keep telling her that if we can stay together, anyone can stay together.
How many children do you have?
Five.
And how many grandchildren?
I've got 6 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren.
All right. So where's Christmas dinner this year?
It's going to be at my house.
What's your address? No, don't give that to us. You're about to have 2 more. We're just kidding.
Okay.
No, we're very excited for you. It's a great end of our show. I'm sure we have a few more minutes, but hey, thank you for calling. And I'm going to put you back to Robert for a second.
Okay.
Hope rings eternal. I love that story. My parents were married 64 years before my dad died, which was 2 years ago yesterday. And not a lot of people making it that long, but you certainly have. And congratulations, and enjoy your holiday. And I hope you find the certificate. Otherwise, it's going to make... Maybe
you could say that we were common law.
Well, not in Florida, but if you look in your stocking this year, maybe Santa will put it in there.
You never can tell.
Okay.
Okay, I agree.
All right, real quick, I need to let David know, unfortunately, he's not going to get the gift basket. Our producer, Cody, has been answering calls and taking out multiple entries for the Robert Slama Law Firm gift basket. So someone's going, yeah. That's been going on, and we didn't know.
Because I'm new to the show, I don't know how the drawing takes place. I mean, is this a blinded drawing, or how's it go?
Blind?
I mean, how do you draw the name?
I actually really do this. I take the little... names and cut them up and put them in a little bowl or something and pull a name out, and whoever comes out comes out.
Is that what our producer's doing right now?
He's saying yes. through the window. Very quickly, though, with respect to Richard's question, unfortunately, people don't live forever. Is he facing a potential estate issue without being able to find their marriage license?
You know, what's really funny, because some people think this, if we don't have a license, we're common law. Well, I actually had a situation similar to what happened to him, and you go back to the county, and sometimes what happens is it is recorded in the books. It just takes a while for them to find it, because whatever their computer system or paper log was, every license and such should be recorded. But there are instances where this stuff really does get lost, and you have to recreate. A marriage is a matter of contracts. That means a offer and an acceptance. I offer, you accept. I offer, you accept. That's called a bilateral contract.
Okay.
Anyway, that can become an issue, particularly in death, if they don't resolve it now. So I always tell people, resolve it and do everything you can to get it straight, because in death, people start showing up. It does change outcomes if, and depending upon wills, spouses, and all that kind of stuff.
All right. So Robert, how are you going to notify the winner?
We're going to call you, and we're going to let you know after the show that you are, in fact, the winner of the Christmas gift basket.
And Merry Christmas. Have a great Merry Christmas, and be safe out there.
Merry Christmas.